On a blue background, a glowing pinpoint of light arcs over the outline of a castle with spires and flags. Words appear in a flash. Walt Disney Pictures. Titles appear. Walt Disney Pictures presents in association with Touchwood Pacific Partners 1. Now, in cartoon animation, a small man with glasses enters a living room. He taps his knees, then holds up his palms to play patty cake. Two huge hands whack him out of the room. A blue title reads, "Honey, I blew up the kid." The words blow up like balloons, then spin away. In a kitchen, a giant foot steps into a baby's high chair. It kicks off the chair, which hits the father and pins him against a wall. More titles. An Edward S. Feldman production of a Randall Kleiser film, starring Rick Moranis, Marcia Strassman, Lloyd Bridges, and Robert Oliveri. Outside, the dad and his elephant-sized baby sit on a seesaw. The toddler crashes to the ground, flinging his father off. Now, the dad wraps a rope around a chimney, hops down the roof, then holds a spoon toward his toddler's huge mouth. The chimney breaks off and the father falls. Also starring John Shea, Carrie Russell, Ron Canada, Amy O'Neill, and introducing Daniel and Joshua Shalikar. Wearing a baseball mitt and catcher's mask, the father enters the living room. The baby's huge palms smash into him again. Later, the baby wears enormous sneakers, one tied, the other untied. The father grabs the rope-like laces and tries to tie them, but the huge sneakers keep moving away. Suddenly, the laces spin around faster and faster. They strap the dad on top of the sneaker. Toting his father, the baby walks off. More titles. Co-executive producer Deborah Brock. Casting by Renee Russolo. Music by Bruce Broughton. Executive producers Albert Band and Stuart Gordon. Screenplay by Tom Eberhardt, Peter Elbling, and Gary Goudreau. In the living room, the dad tosses a beach ball to his son. The baby smashes it over him. With a confused look, he picks it up and searches for his father, whose body is smushed into the ball. Giving up, the baby carries it away with his dad's legs swinging beneath it. More titles. Produced by Dawn Steele and Edward S. Feldman. Directed by Randall Kleiser. In the bathroom, the dad shaves. As the baby pokes his head in, he bangs the door into his father, knocking him out a window. Now, perched on his son's knee, the father reads him a book. Listening, the baby starts to yawn. His eyes droop and he sucks his thumb. As he rolls off his stool, his huge legs fly upward, catapulting his dad into the air. Wearing a suit of armor with a metal helmet, the father lurches into the living room. He claps his hands, then holds them up again to play patty cake. The baby's palms slam him from behind. Now, a real town in a valley crowded with houses. A subtitle reads, Vista Del Mar, Nevada. A postman stuffs packages into a mailbox reading Brown. The next one reads Zelensky. As he approaches it, the door automatically drops open. The postman sticks letters inside and a blue light flashes on top. Two female joggers stop and gawk at the mechanical mailbox.
I hear he's some kind of inventor.
A brown and white terrier leaps out the side door of a house and grabs a plastic bone connected to the mailbox. The box tilts downward. The mail drops into a dustpan below. Biting down on the letters, the dog runs past the joggers. It dashes toward a woman's legs in a kitchen. The woman turns away, drops a cereal box into a moving garbage can, walks up to a panel, and presses a button next to the name Nick.
Nick, breakfast!
In a bedroom, a teenage boy in glasses strums an electric guitar.
I'm coming.
In another room, a toddler watches Mr. Rogers.
Your hands are getting bigger now. Your arms and legs are longer now.
A man walks down a staircase wearing a helmet covered with a mirror, wires, and gadgets.
Wayne!
Yeah, honey?
Where's the baby?
He's in the playpen.
He gets out of the playpen.
No, I fixed it.
Sweetheart, I hate to remind you, but the last time you fixed the playpen, he still got out of it.
Well, he won't get out this time.
He walks through a door that reads, Adam.
What are you, big buddy?
Huh?
I'm certainly capable of fixing a playpen, aren't I? You're just a little baby after all.
The hat?
It's my helmet.
New one?
Yeah, it's a new one. See, it shaves me. See that?
An electric razor is attached to the helmet in the kitchen.
Amy, it's decided. I'm going with you, period.
Mom, in the first place, I'm not the first girl who has ever gone away to college. And in the second place, we're...
Mom.
Excuse me.
Amy, I'm going to help you get settled in. That's it.
In Adam's room.
Yeah, I want to hear a noise.
This one?
Yeah, not this time.
This one.
Okay.
Adam hits a red button on a gizmo in his playpen.
Yeah, I heard it.
Mom?
Sure.
The kitchen.
Mom, let's say you were a girl.
I think I can visualize it.
Would you think I was a nerd? Just by looking at me, I mean.
It's a rhetorical question, Mom. It doesn't require an answer.
Am I any girl in particular? No. Just a girl I might, I don't know, ask to go to the movies or something.
Nikki, you are turning into a very handsome young man. You're going to be just like your dad.
Honey, can you help me adjust this servo regulator?
The razor whips across his face. Mrs. Zielinski turns a knob on his helmet.
Now, if you and Nikki want to get out by yourselves while I'm gone, the babysitter's number's in the kitchen.
Nick walks out.
What's with him?
I think there's a girl.
Nick? Our Nick?
You know, he's growing up, in case you haven't noticed.
Upstairs, little Adam stomps on Nick's guitar. Nick stares at him with wide, horrified eyes.
Uh-oh. I'll fix it.
I'll fix you, you little punk!
Nick, stop! Adam, no!
Sorry, Mama.
Yes, I should hope so. Come on.
She picks him up.
Oh, man. You're getting to be a big boy.
Later, in the kitchen.
How do you keep getting out of there, anyway?
I think maybe we should forget about the playpen idea.
I said I can fix it. I'm not stupid.
I never said you were stupid.
Taxi's here!
So, what's for breakfast? Anything good?
The curly-haired Adam spoons baby food into his father's mouth.
Mmm, fantastic.
Because the taxi's going to take Mommy to the airport. And then, Mommy's going to show Amy her new room at school. Well, hopefully they'll tire him out at daycare.
So when I get home, he'll take a late nap.
No, no!
Honey, we don't say the N-word around two-year-olds.
Adam.
Holy car.
Okay, now Adam's lunch is in the freezer, and I put the babysitter's number on the refrigerator. Is there something I'm forgetting? I'm sure I'm forgetting.
Diane, relax. Don't you think I can handle things around here?
Of course you can, honey.
They kiss.
Break it up, guys. Don't worry, Dad. She'll get there, realize there's nothing to do, turn around, and come right back. Bye. Bye, Nick.
Come on, Amy. We gotta get going.
Amy dashes to the taxi. On a blue background, a glowing pinpoint of light arcs over the outline of a castle with spires and flags. Words appear in a flash. Walt Disney Pictures. Titles appear. Walt Disney Pictures presents in association with Touchwood Pacific Partners 1. Now, in cartoon animation, a small man with glasses enters a living room. He taps his knees, then holds up his palms to play patty cake. Two huge hands whack him out of the room. A blue title reads, "Honey, I blew up the kid." The words blow up like balloons, then spin away. In a kitchen, a giant foot steps into a baby's high chair. It kicks off the chair, which hits the father and pins him against a wall. More titles. An Edward S. Feldman production of a Randall Kleiser film, starring Rick Moranis, Marcia Strassman, Lloyd Bridges, and Robert Oliveri. Outside, the dad and his elephant-sized baby sit on a seesaw. The toddler crashes to the ground, flinging his father off. Now, the dad wraps a rope around a chimney, hops down the roof, then holds a spoon toward his toddler's huge mouth. The chimney breaks off and the father falls. Also starring John Shea, Carrie Russell, Ron Canada, Amy O'Neill, and introducing Daniel and Joshua Shalikar. Wearing a baseball mitt and catcher's mask, the father enters the living room. The baby's huge palms smash into him again. Later, the baby wears enormous sneakers, one tied, the other untied. The father grabs the rope-like laces and tries to tie them, but the huge sneakers keep moving away. Suddenly, the laces spin around faster and faster. They strap the dad on top of the sneaker. Toting his father, the baby walks off. More titles. Co-executive producer Deborah Brock. Casting by Renee Russolo. Music by Bruce Broughton. Executive producers Albert Band and Stuart Gordon. Screenplay by Tom Eberhardt, Peter Elbling, and Gary Goudreau. In the living room, the dad tosses a beach ball to his son. The baby smashes it over him. With a confused look, he picks it up and searches for his father, whose body is smushed into the ball. Giving up, the baby carries it away with his dad's legs swinging beneath it. More titles. Produced by Don Steele and Edward S. Feldman. Directed by Randall Kleiser. In the bathroom, the dad shaves. As the baby pokes his head in, he bangs the door into his father, knocking him out a window. Now, perched on his son's knee, the father reads him a book. Listening, the baby starts to yawn. His eyes droop and he sucks his thumb. As he rolls off his stool, his huge legs fly upward, catapulting his dad into the air. Wearing a suit of armor with a metal helmet, the father lurches into the living room. He claps his hands, then holds them up again to play patty cake. The baby's palms slam him from behind. Now, a real town in a valley crowded with houses. A subtitle reads, Vista Del Mar, Nevada. A postman stuffs packages into a mailbox reading Brown. The next one reads Zelensky. As he approaches it, the door automatically drops open. The postman sticks letters inside and a blue light flashes on top. Two female joggers stop and gawk at the mechanical mailbox.
I hear he's some kind of inventor.
A brown and white terrier leaps out the side door of a house and grabs a plastic bone connected to the mailbox. The box tilts downward. The mail drops into a dustpan below. Biting down on the letters, the dog runs past the joggers. It dashes toward a woman's legs in a kitchen. The woman turns away, drops a cereal box into a moving garbage can, walks up to a panel, and presses a button. Nick sprays a fire extinguisher at the flaming stove.
What noise? It was just a bad connection, that's all. Baby? Well, he's fine. He's in the playpen. No, I fixed it. He can't get out.
Behind him, Adam sits on a cleaning robot.
How's Amy's dorm?
Quirk, the terrier, pulls on Wayne's pants leg.
Hey, stop it.
Adam waddles outside toward an ice cream truck.
Uh-huh. No, everything's fine. Boy, you worry too much.
Wayne scoops him up.
What? The chicken? Well, the chicken you left us really looks fine, honey.
Nick brings a pan of charred, blackened chicken to Wayne. Later, the burnt meal sits in Quirk's bowl.
So I was thinking with Mom and Amy out of town that this would give us guys a chance to talk about the, you know, birds and the bees.
Wayne spreads peanut butter onto a slice of bread. Nick bites his lip. The blonde-haired, brown-eyed Adam smushes a jelly sandwich onto his brother's face. Glumly, Nick takes it from him, drops it onto a plate, then leaves. Wayne's shoulders slump. Nearby, Quark presses a pedal on a machine. A dog biscuit pops out. Later, Adam lies in bed. Wayne leans over him, holding a stuffed rabbit.
You know what I was thinking, Big Bunny?
What?
I was thinking we gotta be real nice to our brother Nick. You know why?
No, why?
Well, because he moved away to a new place now, and he's gonna make all new friends, just like me and you.
Yeah?
Yeah. Should we sing a song now?
Yeah.
Which song should we sing?
ABC.
How about Twinkle Twinkle?
ABC.
ABC?
Yeah. ABCs.
Let's sing Twinkle Twinkle Little Star.
ABCs.
ABCs?
Yeah.
Okay, first ABCs. Now Twinkle Twinkle, okay? Okay.
Twinkle, twinkle, little star.
Wayne stares curiously at a red balloon tied to the bed, now at the lab.
It'll be a hell of a thing for you, Charles, if it works.
It'll work. I'll make it work. Over the years, I've seen Clifford Sterling attach himself to one crazy idea after another. I have to tell you, the board of directors is very worried.
Pardon me a moment. Hendricks in.
Hello?
What was that?
It was a balloon popping, Dr. Hendrickson. I got the idea while singing my kid to sleep. You see, if you hit a balloon with too much force, you don't allow the molecules time to expand and the balloon pops.
Problem?
Why Clifford insists on keeping him involved is absolutely beyond me. If I were running this project by myself right now, we'd be neck deep in apples the size of Buicks.
There are those of us on the board who would agree with you.
The mustached man wipes his mouth.
Clifford Sterling just may have outlived his usefulness. To the corporation, to his stockholders. I should think his successor would be a foregone conclusion. Especially if you were the one to actually make this thing work.
Now, Wayne's balloon-filled living room.
Without tearing the atomic fabric. Hello?
Zelensky.
Why don't you write up this balloon research of yours?
I can do the math and have it on your desk tomorrow.
No, it's not necessary. All right, have a good weekend, Zelensky.
Have a good weekend, Zelensky.
Antennas on Wayne's helmet shrink. Upstairs, Nick dials a phone.
Hello?
Hi, may I please speak to Mandy?
Sure. Mandy, phone.
Hello?
Hi, Mandy.
The chubby-cheeked Adam has pulled out the telephone wire.
In the picture you are. I'll fix it.
Nick runs after him.
Daddy!
Hey, what are you doing up, little guy? Hey, Nick, want to do something with me tomorrow?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. Come on, fella. One more story. And then tomorrow, you want to come with me and Nikki down to the lab and we'll play?
Daytime. The van sits outside Sterling Labs.
Okay, guys. See, Adam, this is where Daddy works. Want me to take a?
Yeah.
Inside, Wayne pushes Adam in a stroller.
Gotta be a little bit discreet about this.
Huh?
The security guard's desk.
Mr. Zelensky.
Hi, Smitty.
Hello. You working today?
Just gonna tidy up a little bit.
Smitty frowns and checks his clipboard. Inside the lab, Wayne and Nick carry Adam's stroller down steps.
Wow.
Wow.
Some lab.
Some lab.
Way better than what we had in the attic, huh? Way better.
Way better.
Smitty.
Yes, would you connect me with Dr. Hendrickson, please?
Wayne puts yellow and blue vials into a panel as it slides out from a table.
Call up a command directory labeled primary laser drive. Tell me what it says under intensity.
Nick rushes over to a row of computers and types on a keyboard.
It says access denied.
Access denied? I'm trying to figure out some way how to lower the intensity of the laser.
Nick spots a glass soda bottle in a garbage can.
Hey, Dad!
He pulls it out.
We could diffuse it, maybe.
He looks through it like a telescope.
That's a good idea.
Wayne breaks off the bottom, then places it over a lens on a nearby projector.
Now we'll set final target.
Target what, Dad?
Looking around, Wayne sees Adam holding his buck-toothed stuffed rabbit.
Hey, can I borrow this, pal?
No.
Come on, let me see if I can make Big Bunny really Big Bunny, huh?
He takes it from the toddler. At the guard's desk, Wayne's face appears on a screen above the words, security check.
Yes, sir. I thought it was unusual, him being in here on a Saturday.
No, you did the right thing letting me know. Thank you.
Hendrickson turns to a group on a tennis court.
Well, that's it for me.
Now, okay. In the lab.
You're gonna have to wear some glasses. There you go.
Nick puts black goggles on his brother and walks away. Adam pulls them off. Wayne sets the stuffed rabbit on the platform near the laser. Then he looks into the projector, turning two large knobs. Big Bunny comes into focus through the lens. The image pops onto computer screens in front of Nick as Wayne hits a button on a keypad.
30 seconds.
Adam gazes at Big Bunny woefully.
25 seconds.
He stretches his arm toward it.
20 seconds.
Wayne peers through the projector. The soda glass bottom twitches on the lens. As Wayne and Nick sit with their backs toward him, Adam climbs out of his stroller and waddles toward the platform. Blue lights begin to shoot out of the laser.
Dad, power surge! Quick, the abort switches!
A red beam fires through Big Bunny into Adam. His hair flies straight up as the laser knocks him to the ground. Wayne and Nick fiddle with switches in the panels, then turn to a computer screen.
Unable to abort!
Adam climbs back into his stroller. Now at the guard's desk.
Joe, what's happening up here?
In the lab, Nick and Wayne pull off their goggles. Wayne dashes onto the platform and picks up Big Bunny by its ears. The stuffed animal is the exact same size as it was. Wayne shakes his head. Later, the three stroll past Smitty's desk.
Mr. Zelensky, your security clearance denies you access to the equipment without Dr. Hendrickson's permission. You are aware of that, right?
Yes, Smitty.
Mr. Zelensky, I'm sorry I had to...
From his stroller, Adam waves goodbye.
That baby of yours sure is starting to get big.
See you, Smitty.
As Adam pulls on the hood of his stroller, tiny blue lights sparkle around his head. Later in the van.
Big.
Dad, how come you gotta ask somebody's permission to work on your own invention?
Well, Nick, Dad's a member of a team now, and I'm working with some real talented people.
But
and...
Dad, it's your invention. They didn't have the idea. You did.
Wayne frowns in thought. Nick brushes a hand through his hair. As the van pulls up to the house, the two female joggers stop and watch. One has curly blonde hair, the other reddish brown. Wayne climbs out and walks to the passenger side. As Nick hops out, he shoots a look at his father, then walks away. Wayne opens the van's side door.
Okay, bud. Looks like Daddy needs to spend a little quality time with Nick, okay? So I'm gonna get you a babysitter. You can have yourself a good time.
He tries to lift Adam out of the car seat. The boy doesn't budge. Outside, the two women stare.
You putting on a little bit of weight?
He unbuckles the seat, lifts it out of the van, and drops it onto the ground. Picking up Adam and the seat, he totes them into the house. The reddish-haired woman smirks. Then they jog off. Wayne carries Adam into the kitchen.
You know what? Daddy's gonna make you a nice quick lunch. Maybe a kind of a locale thing. What do you think? Huh? It's gonna be good.
Upstairs, Nick picks up his guitar. He pulls on one of the broken strings.
A babysitter, babysitter, babysitter.
Wayne reads a slip of paper on the refrigerator, puts on his telephone helmet, and dials a number.
Four.
Opening the freezer, okay, so he pulls out frozen dinners.
Oh, with that, huh?
Yeah?
Hi, is this Mandy Park?
Yeah.
Hi, this is Wayne Zelensky. Can you come over about 3:30 for us?
3:30? Sounds okay, Mr. Schlitzminski.
Zelensky, dear.
Zelensky, right. That's what I said. I like charge $2.50 an hour. Unless, of course, I actually have to do anything, like change diapers or clean up or something. In which case, the price goes up.
Oh, no, all you have to do is just watch him, really.
Okay, see you at 3:30.
Okay.
Wayne pops the food into a microwave, takes off his helmet, and sniffs two bowls.
Okay. Are these quarks or yours? You just stay here, okay? She sounded great on the phone.
I want to go to a restaurant.
You want to go to a restaurant? But I just made this stuff. It's going to be good.
Well,
I'll go to Indian restaurant. Well, I'll be the waiter, okay? And let me take your order. What would you like?
You want the duck?
Duck. The duck is not very good tonight. Can I recommend the special?
Okay.
Okay, fine. We have soup du jour. We have hamburger. We have French fries today. Would you like them?
Okay.
All right. I'll be right back.
As Wayne walks out, blue lights glimmer around the microwave. Adam lifts the tray on his high chair. The bowls slide to the floor. Wagging his tail, Quark watches. The toddler points and blue energy bolts jump from his finger to the microwave. As he climbs down from his chair, the bolts shimmer around his head, grow stronger, and light up the oven.
Hey, Nick. Want to go to a movie? Just the two of us.
Yeah, there's a movie at the Desert Six I wanted to see.
Great, come on. We'll take our minds off it.
I'll check Showtimes.
Okay, and then maybe afterwards we can get a bite to eat or something.
In the kitchen, Adam holds up Big Bunny.
Big Bunny!
As bolts flash from the stuffed rabbit, the microwave finishes cooking. Adam and Big Bunny sprout upward.
What's that?
Quark scurries into the living room and hides under the sofa.
What's gotten into him?
Curiously, Wayne and Nick gaze down at the dog, then head toward the kitchen. They rush back into the living room and jump behind the couch.
Dad, how?
Where were you in the lab this morning? Were you watching Adam?
He was off to the side.
But at the moment of discharge, where was he?
Just before, I know, he was off to the side. Wasn't he?
Somehow, I don't think so.
Quark pokes his head out as they walk around the sofa. Clutching a 5-foot big bunny, the new, bigger Adam walks in.
Boom!
Quark dives back under the couch. The 7-foot-tall toddler waddles around the living room, then plops down on the sofa. Eyeing him, Wayne and Nick stand several feet away.
Don't worry, Adam. Daddy's gonna make everything okay.
Wayne's mouth drops open.
Okay. We gotta get him back to the lab, analyze the data, and reverse the process.
One thing, Dad.
What?
You think the security guard might get suspicious of us walking in with a 7-foot baby?
Uh-oh.
Good point.
Later, carrying several shopping bags, Wayne dashes out of Hal's Big and Tall store. He pushes his sunglasses up the bridge of his nose, throws the bags through the van window, then hops in. As the solar disks twirl, the Zelinskys speed out of the parking lot. Later, they stand in the entryway of the Sterling Labs building. Wayne holds a huge beekeeper's hat. Adam wears a man's brown plaid jacket.
This will cover your head and your hair. Here, Adam, put this on.
There. He looks like a badly dressed beekeeper.
Just act natural. Come on, bud.
Attaboy.
They walk inside.
Smitty! Mom, I forgot the keys to my van, and I couldn't start the van. It's in the lab, but I'm not going to use anything in there because of my security.
You know, access thing, which you mentioned earlier.
So I'm just going to get the keys in the lab now.
They file past the guard's desk. Netting from Adam's hat covers his face. As they enter the lab, Wayne freezes on the steps.
Come on, down.
Hendrickson, holding the soda bottle bottom, points a flashlight.
Zelinsky,
go back up.
Get up.
Just stop by to do some computations in the... In the database.
The database has been erased. Our entire experiment, gone.
Get back.
Erased.
All 38 gigabytes.
Can't be.
Sure it can. If the main controller was trying to compensate laser intensity for this, which you jammed into the filter pack, you idiot, causing a power surge through the entire main drive system.
Who was that?
Nick and Adam hide outside.
Who? Guy in the hat.
A friend of mine.
Well, what language was he speaking?
Yugoslavian.
You let a foreigner into the lab?
He's not a foreigner. He's my wife's uncle Janos from Yugoslavia. He's family. And he just wanted to see the lab, and I brought him here. The man's a genius. Do you see the size of his head? 225 the IQ on that man. An extended brain pan.
Extended brain pan.
Baffoon.
No baffoon right now, Adam.
Did he say baffoon?
Baffoon, Yugoslavian. It's a term of appreciation. Baffoon, thank you for bringing me down here on a Saturday to the lab to look around. That's all. How long before we can restore the system from the backups?
Well, that doesn't concern you. You're off the project.
You don't have the authority to make that decision.
Well, maybe I don't. So why don't you call Clifford Sterling personally and plead your case? However, after this morning's little escapade and the time and the money it'll cost Sterling Labs, I don't think the old man will have a great deal of sympathy. So I hope you'll spare yourself the embarrassment of having to be escorted to the gate.
Hendrickson approaches two lab technicians and shines light in their faces.
Start working data restoration backwards from 8:56 this morning, the exact time of the system crash. I want to know what he was up to.
In the van, Adam pulls off a handle and tosses it to Wayne and Nick up front. His large head is inches away from the roof.
Why didn't you tell him, Dad? I mean, at least then they'd know that you were able to make it work when nobody else could.
Look, Nick, remember we made you kids promise never ever to tell anyone you were accidentally shrunk and lost for 2 days?
Yeah.
That's because we didn't want you guys to become specimens, to undergo countless tests, to go through endless observations, and who knows what else.
What about Adam? What are we gonna do?
I don't know. What I do know is... we gotta figure out some way to fix this before your mother gets home.
They turn into the driveway. The slim, attractive Diane Zelinsky stands outside the house, smiling and waving.
Hi, guys, I'm home.
She holds up Big Bunny.
Where'd this come from?
Wayne quickly backs away from the house, nearly smashing into a red car. The van speeds off. Diane stares after them, dumbstruck.
What do we do?
I don't know. We could drive to Mexico, Dad, and hide out. Come back when he's bigger. I mean older. Maybe she wouldn't notice then.
No. Honesty's the best policy, Nick. I'll just explain.
Sure. It's not the first time something like this has happened. To our family.
I'll just tell the truth.
And beg for mercy.
Toy car.
Adam throws a small red toy car into the front. As the blonde-haired, green-eyed Diane clutches the oversized big bunny, Wayne slowly drives up to the house. Stepping out, he takes her arm.
What was that all about?
I had a little trouble with the van. I thought I put it in park, and it went into reverse because the P and the R are looking. You're back early.
Come on, big guy.
Yeah, I took a cab from the airport. You know, it really was silly. Amy didn't need me at all. Stop. Who's the man in the loud sport coat?
No, those are Nick's.
Well, Diane, that's what I want to talk to you about now.
Sit down. Mom. Sit down.
You know how sometimes the things that I invent don't always work the way they're supposed to?
Sweetheart, you can tell me. How bad can it be? After all, it's not like you did something to one of the kids again.
His eyes bulge.
Wayne, where is Adam?
Well,
Who is that man in the van? And where did this bunny come from?
All right, I confess, I did it.
Did what?
Peek-a-boo!
Adam marches in.
I blew up the baby.
Diane faints.
Mama, fall down. Mama.
How'd you take it?
About like usual.
Mama sleeping?
I'll kill Wayne.
You don't want to kill Wayne.
I don't want to kill Wayne.
What's he doing? He's playing with his toys.
Well, make him stop.
Adam pounds a ping pong ball.
Make him stop. Why didn't I think of that? Adam. Adam. Stop fooling around.
Catch.
Adam.
That's where you're walking.
Let's go for a walk, Adam.
People,
don't throw things at Nick.
Catch it.
This is your last warning.
Adam heaves a ball at him.
Okay, I'll give you one more warning.
Wayne holds smelling salts under Diane's nose. She wakes up, smiles, then spots Big Bunny in her arms.
Shh. It's not as bad as it seems.
It almost couldn't be, could it?
She throws him onto a love seat.
Well, I finally got him in his room.
Tell him he has to stay inside and close the door.
I did close the door. He just opened his door.
Adam carries in his bedroom door.
And he decided to share it with us.
The bike hop.
Oh, baby. Adam, put the door down, sweetheart. Why don't you give the door to Daddy, Adam?
Give Daddy the door, Adam.
I fix it.
Wait till the Vista Del Mar Standards Committee sees this.
One of the joggers takes a photo.
Maybe we shouldn't bother with it. It's just a mailbox.
Little things have a way of becoming very big things, Patty.
Let go of the door, Adam.
Stop before someone gets hurt.
Let go.
Adam bangs the door into Wayne's head, then sits and crushes a chair. Wayne drops the door.
Be careful,
slow
baby.
Down, Adam. As
they cower in front of him, Adam reaches for a chair.
Not gentle, my antique gentle. Chair!
Outside.
Are you remodeling in there?
Come back here.
Wayne, Diane, and Nick chase Adam around the living room. Neighbors gather outside the house. Inside, the Zielinskis bounce off Adam.
Oh, Adam!
This is not a game. What are we doing? We catch him.
Adam, hang on. Okay. You guys go that way, I'll go this way.
Facing his son, Wayne stands several feet shorter.
Hi, little guy.
Adam picks him up.
Adam, put Daddy down. Adam, put Daddy down.
Adam runs into Nick's room.
The guitar.
Not my room. Adam, put down my guitar. Put it down.
As Nick clings to his leg, Adam takes
right,
the guitar.
Enough, fellas.
Adam,
stop.
Sweetheart.
Nicky, let go. He's got my guitar. Nicky, he's just a baby.
He's not a baby. He's
Wait.
A monster.
Adam dashes out the back.
He's gonna break my guitar.
Come
back here. Come back here.
Back, Adam. Give me back my guitar.
They chase him inside, then back out.
Other way.
Wayne snatches the guitar.
Hold on.
Got it. Here, hide it.
At Sterling Labs, the technicians stare at a computer screen.
I targeted something, but it's going to take a lot more enhancing to figure out what.
I can do it. What do you suppose this is here?
Condensation on the lens?
No, it's much too solid.
How can you be sure?
I'm sure. It's not amorphous, it's mass. I can see.
Now at the house.
Play in here with Daddy.
Play what?
Play anything.
This should distract him.
Great.
That's what it's all about.
The Zelinskys dance in front of Adam.
Dance, Adam!
Outside, the neighbors creep closer to the house.
Isn't this fun, Wayne?
Clap your hands. Put your left foot in, good boy.
The neighbors outside tremble.
Why are you closing the shutters?
So one of the neighbors doesn't look in, see a 7-foot baby, and call the National Enquirer.
Who's that?
One of the neighbors.
So far, your plan's working perfectly.
She opens the front door.
Hi.
Hello.
We heard shouting and a lot of noise, so we were just wondering if everything was all right.
Oh, yes, everything's fine. We were just entertaining.
Uncle Janosch.
Uncle Janosch.
You put your whole
thing. Not too hard, you're denting the floor.
Bye.
Dad, help, he's got me. He's breaking my ribs. Oh, don't do that, Adam.
In the lab.
My God. It appears to have three eyes.
A new life form of some sort.
Try scaling up the window.
A mixed up image of Adam and Big Bunny.
This could be big.
This could be very big.
At the house, Diane makes a huge rattle.
Well, I think we did a great job with these. This should really distract him.
Well, he likes noise.
Here you go, honey. Yeah. You know what, Nikki? I don't care what you say. It's still a playpen, and a playpen's a playpen to Adam.
A roped-off corner.
Yeah, but you have to admit, Mom, not too many guys can come up with something like this in half an hour.
No, Adam, sweetheart. No. Stay away from that, sweetheart. Adam, please don't touch Adam. Don't touch Mommy. Go.
Come on away from there, Adam. Come over here. Okay, play with Nikki. Play with Nikki, Adam.
When you get a minute, you might take a look at this.
She puts the cuckoo clock in front of Wayne.
Wayne?
Well, some of the numbers indicate that on
please,
an atomic...
Please, honey, the truth, okay?
The truth, Diane, is that without the access to the data at the plant, I don't know that there's anything I can do. I know what's happening, but I don't know why. I'm sorry, honey.
Hey, Mom, look, I finally found a way to keep him quiet.
There were 12 ice cream bars in there.
Adam licks his fingers.
Well, he's ruined his dinner.
Not necessarily, Mom. At his body weight, he should be able to metabolize. Maybe I should just shut up about it.
Okay, boys, we're going out.
She heads for Adam.
Diane, what are you doing?
I'm taking him to the lab. Maybe there's somebody there who...
Who knows what they're doing?
I didn't mean it like that. I'm sorry, but all I care about right now is getting my baby to shrink back to normal size. Come on, Nikki, help me get him out to the van.
Shrink? Diane, wait! I got an idea! My original machine is in the lab security warehouse!
Yes!
This'll have to be a covert operation. Diane, you come with me. Nick, you stay here with the baby.
Oh, no. We are not leaving them here alone.
Diane, you can't take him to the lab. There's no telling what Henderson will do if he gets his hands on him. Look at him. He's exhausted. He can take a nap while we're gone.
No!
Wayne picks up Big Bunny and approaches the huge playpen.
Look who I got. Really Big Bunny. Hi, Adam.
Hello, Adam.
You're real tired, aren't you, Adam?
Yeah, he looks real tired to me.
Should we sing the song?
Twinkle, twinkle, little star, how I wonder what you are. Up above the world so high, like a diamond in the sky. Twinkle, twinkle, little star, how I wonder.
let go of that bunny right now. Put Daddy down, Adam. It's not nice to hurt Daddy.
Sorry, Mama.
Okay, I'm bringing up the structural overlay.
Now, in the lab.
Dr. Hendrickson, we can make out hair, bone, and metal, all sort of intertwined. I think you should take a look at this. Yes, sir. He's on his way.
We'll show him the keratin analysis first.
Structural overlay first.
It's not clear enough.
I think it is.
Why don't we see what he thinks?
She brings up an enlarged image of Adam and Big Bunny's eyes on the computer screen. At the house, Wayne and Diane tiptoe past the sleeping Adam.
Don't worry. We'll be back in an hour. Come on.
Bye-bye.
Nick eats a sandwich as Wayne and Diane slip out the front door. Wayne carries a welding mask and toolbox. They sprint down the walkway and hop into the van. In the living room, Adam lies on the floor in his huge playpen. It is made of 8-foot-high yellow netting roped around the fireplace and held up with tall tree branches. Nick tiptoes inside and crouches down beside the toddler. He pulls a blanket up to his brother's neck, uncovering his sneakered feet. Sucking his thumb, Adam wears red overalls and a yellow and black striped shirt. Quark watches them, panting. Nick pats his brother, rises, and steps backward. Adam stirs. Nick shudders and grabs the netting behind him. As the toddler grows still again, Nick carefully steps out of the playpen, then gazes down at the sleeping baby. Now, the technicians stare at the distorted computer image in the lab. Hendrickson walks up behind them.
This is our latest image, superimposing structural and keratin analysis.
And as you can see, there appears
to... All right, just move over.
The image clears, revealing Adam and Big Bunny.
It's a baby and a stuffed bunny. Zelensky. I'm going to pay him a little visit. Back to work.
I knew it was a baby. I just wasn't sure it was a bunny.
Now, Wayne's van drives through a gate reading Sterling up to a warehouse. He sticks a card key into a lock. A 10-foot door slides open. The van drives inside. It parks in an aisle between shelves stuffed with brown packages, boxes, and crates. Stepping out of the van, Wayne and Diane look around.
Just take a second. They stored all my stuff in one large crate. Should be easy to spot.
Wayne?
The 300-yard-long warehouse is stocked with thousands of crates.
Maybe it's in alphabetical order or something.
What if it's not?
What I wanted to do was take Nick to the movies.
Uh-oh.
What?
Clutching a slip of paper, Mandy strolls up to the Zelensky house and glances at the mechanized mailbox. As she skips to the front door, her curly brown hair bounces on her shoulders. In the living room, Nick snoozes near Adam's playpen. Quark lies on his chest. Nick rears up. Quark leaps to the floor. Adam wakes. Nick reaches through the netting into the playpen and holds up Big Bunny.
Twinkle, twinkle.
Adam reaches for the stuffed animal.
Wait.
As he grabs onto Big Bunny, Nick runs out of the room. Rubbing his eyes, Adam rises, walks up to the netting, and pushes it aside. Nick cracks open the front door.
Mandy.
Rick.
Nick. Nick Zelensky?
Right. I'm here to babysit.
We don't need a babysitter.
Adam waddles over.
Adam, no!
Very funny. Now, can I come in? I'm already charging you.
We changed our mind, that's all. We don't need a babysitter.
I don't think so. Look, I was promised 3 hours at 2:50 an hour, plus the extra if I'm grossed out.
Listen, Mandy, take it from me. You don't want to babysit. Not this baby.
I'm really sure I can't handle some stupid baby.
Adam peeks out. Adam sticks out his tongue. Mandy's eyes cross and her knees buckle. As she drops, Nick catches her and pulls her into the house. Now, at the warehouse, Diane wanders down one of the aisles.
Wayne, we've got to get back to the kids. This is just taking too long.
Standing on a shelf, Wayne blows away layers of dust. He spots a large crate above his head. It reads, Zelensky.
Honey! It's up here! See if you can find a forklift!
Now at the house.
Mandy, believe me, I have everything under control.
Now, if you promise not to scream, I'll take the gag out of your mouth. Promise?
Tied to a chair, she nods.
Ah! Help me, someone help me! Please, no. Someone help me! Please, shut up, baby!
Still tied down, she hops to the back door.
Stop. Calm down.
In a backyard nearby.
What's that?
The two nosy women prepare a birthday party.
This lets Zitskis.
In the warehouse, Wayne climbs into the back of the van. Diane hops in front.
Wayne, this is a solar van. We're inside.
There's a switch, honey. Mark batteries. Just be careful not to switch it to...
Whoa!
Hi!
The van shoots down the aisle in reverse. Wayne looks out the window in horror as they rush toward the sliding door. They burst through it. The van doors fly open as Wayne hangs on beside the crate.
Hold on!
They crash through the front gate.
Can we try again?
The gagged Mandy nods. Gently, Nick removes the blue cloth wrapped around her mouth.
Good. Now, despite what he looks like, Adam is just a little kid. He's in there watching TV, not hurting anyone.
She shoots him a look. In the other room, Adam walks to the TV and switches the channel.
She knows what it is to have a headache.
Everybody's doing a friendly dance now.
As men and women do aerobics on screen, Adam nods his head and begins to dance. In the living room, Nick holds a drink up to Mandy's mouth. He spills some on her shirt.
Sorry.
He wipes her mouth with the gag. In the TV room, blue lights sparkle around the television. As Adam jumps up and down, bolts shoot from the screen to his chest.
So, 2 years ago, he made you and your sister tiny.
And the guys next door.
Then he made you regular size again. And now he's made your baby brother big.
Right.
The blue lights swirl around Adam's head.
And you don't like think that's unusual.
In the TV room, a huge hole is smashed out of the window.
Oh my God, he's out and he's bigger. You gotta help me, okay?
This wasn't in the job description.
We'll pay you overtime.
Okay.
He unties her. They rush into the TV room and stare at the hole.
There's no way I'm changing those diapers.
Come on.
Outside, they run through the neighborhood. At the birthday party nearby.
Come on. Julia, be quiet and sit down. Now, for the famous Chinese blocks trick. Shazam!
Children watch the blonde jogger with bored looks.
Okay. Now for my next trick.
On a walkway nearby.
Adam!
Back at the party.
Now, for the disappearing bunny trick. Watch carefully. The hand is quicker than the eye.
Adam climbs into the yard with Big Bunny.
Can anyone tell me where the bunny is?
There!
You think it's still on my head?
She turns and sees Adam.
Big Bunny!
Fainting, she falls backward and lands in a pool. The other woman sees the gigantic Adam and drops a tray of punch. Adam climbs over the backyard wall.
There he is, come on!
I don't care if Clifford's at the Rand Institute this weekend. I want him notified. I also want the board of directors in on this.
Hey! What the?
Hendrickson's car screeches to a stop.
Contact the federal marshals. Get him out here. I want something large enough to hold... something large.
He hangs up his car phone. An overturned car smokes. Water sprays from a broken hydrant. The 30-foot-tall Adam sits in the street.
In big trouble.
Hendrickson approaches Nick and Mandy.
Oh, wait, you hold it right there.
I'm just the babysitter.
She flashes a half smile as Hendrickson grabs Nick's arm. A crowd watches police cars pull up behind Adam. Now the solar-powered van zips down a highway.
Yeah, an hour tops, sure.
Wayne, how's it coming?
Just about got it, honey.
Hold on. I'm taking a shortcut.
The van veers off the highway with the rear doors wide open. Two policemen on motorcycles chase them. In back, Wayne works on a smaller version of the laser gun. Diane spies the officers in the side mirror.
Oh. What do I do?
Okay. Let's see if this thing works.
The officers close in behind them as Wayne presses a button. A laser shoots out from the gun and hits the policeman. They shrink. Diane stops the van.
Wayne Szalinski, you unshrink those policemen right now.
The tiny, inch-high officers stand in the road beside their miniature motorcycles. A car zooms past them, splashing mud. Wayne flicks switches on a control panel and hits a button. The laser zaps the officers back to their normal size. Stunned, they wipe mud off their uniforms.
It works!
Diane shrugs. As the van takes off, the policemen stand and stare.
They're getting away. I think they're out of our jurisdiction.
Near the house, the van pulls up to a barricade. An officer holds up his hands.
Hold! You can't go in.
It's okay, officer. That's our house.
They run past the sawhorses. Hendrickson smiles at the giant hole in the Szalinski's window. A black officer stands nearby holding cork.
Where are my boys?
Hold on, folks.
Where are they?
Hold it just a minute. Preston Brooks, U.S. Marshals. Now, we found this guy down the street hiding in a garage. The children are perfectly safe, Mrs. Szalinski. We just needed to get the baby some more room so he wouldn't hurt himself.
Of course, the mutated child will have to undergo immediate testing.
That's my kid you're talking about! Let go of me!
Wayne rushes at Hendrickson. Marshall Brooks grabs him. Now, a truck drives down a highway escorted by police cars. From inside, Adam pounds on its walls.
You can't keep him in that truck.
Don't worry, it's all fixed up. As far as your brother's concerned, it's one big playpen.
That's what I mean.
I'd listen to him if I were you.
Look, miss, when I want your opinion, I'll ask for it.
In the back of the police car, Mandy frowns and squints at the officer. As the truck passes a row of electrical wires, blue lights flicker off them and bounce off the truck's roof. Nighttime. Wayne measures the hole in his window.
It's got a 40-inch neck.
Diane strokes cork.
Adam's gonna be fine, cork.
The mustache, salt-and-pepper-haired Brooks holds a cellular phone.
I can authorize that.
Marshal Brooks, I'm afraid I have to insist that these two be taken into custody.
On what charge?
Theft. Malicious mischief. Child endangerment.
He turns as a white limousine pulls up to the house. Its license plate reads Sterling.
If you'll excuse me.
A 60-ish white-haired man steps out and surveys the area.
Clifford? Well, I hardly know what to say. I tried to warn you about Szalinski from the very beginning.
Yes, yes, you did, Charles. And if it's any consolation to you, the board of directors believes that you were right all along.
Dr. Sterling, sir. I can reverse my son's growth. Just give me a chance, sir. I can get him back to normal.
You can?
Yeah. With what, Szalinski? Coca-Cola bottles? Maybe some, chewing gum and twine?
Just who do you think you are talking to him like that?
Diane, let me handle this. Who do you think you are talking to me like that?
Clifford, the situation demands that I bring in the people with the expertise and the credentials.
Wait a second. You think I'm just some guy from Fresno who tinkered with crackpot ideas in his attic? Well, let me tell you something. This whole country is built on the shoulders of people who tinkered with crackpot ideas in attics and basements and backyards. Alexander Graham Bell working in a two-room flat.
Young man, don't presume to stand there and lecture me about great minds and great inventors. Whatever I've been over the years, I've never been a fool or been involved with anyone else who is. I certainly don't intend to start now. Charles?
Yes, Clifford.
You're fired.
What?
You're fired.
Hendrickson's jaw drops.
So, Szalinski, what have you got in mind so that we can get that kid of yours back to normal size by bedtime?
Well, sir, the prototype's in the van and
Hold on, folks. We've got a problem. Your son's escaped, and he's over 50 feet tall.
That's impossible. My son's only 14 feet tall.
I'll drive.
He's still pretty tall.
Hendrickson on his phone.
Yes, get me Terrence Wheeler. This is an emergency.
Now on the highway.
He broke out.
He busted out of the truck and knocked it completely over.
What's he doing now?
He's just standing there, but he's smiling.
Now, Adam, sit down.
Nick, I don't think sitting's such a good idea.
Ooh, toys.
In the van.
He did what?
Put your son and the babysitter in his pocket and left.
He's always doing that. I find the strangest things in his pockets.
Wait, what do you suppose is causing this growth phenomenon?
I don't know. They were transporting him along Coppermine Road. That runs alongside high voltage lines.
Oh?
And yesterday, when I gave him lunch, he was right near the microwave oven.
And you said the baby grew while he was watching TV.
Of
course.
I don't understand any of this.
Electromagnetic flux.
Around every operating electrical device, there's a flux. Like an electromagnetic force field.
That's what's causing the baby to grow.
Would this electromagnetic, would it surround neon lights too?
Yeah, why?
Your kid, he's headed toward Las Vegas.
Uh-oh.
Now, Hendrickson at Sterling Labs with Wheeler, the mustache man.
You are not fired, not by a long shot. This is the opportunity I've been waiting for. At last, Sterling has gone too far this time.
They enter the lab.
The board is getting together tonight. Until then, I want you on this. Whatever it takes, just get the situation under control.
Yeah, I did have one thought, sir, but I'll need military cooperation.
Fine, I'll get the clearance. Charles, just handle this for us. I mean, we'll do the right thing by you.
He nods at Hendrickson. Now, we lurch above a highway 50 feet below us. A traffic light bounces and shakes on a wire. It changes to red, and two gigantic legs stomp. A truck drives past. The light changes to green, and the legs move forward.
Police reports just in say that some kind of large creature has just escaped from a government caravan and is heading toward the city.
The van pulls up to a police blockade. Everyone hops out. Wayne pulls out the laser gun.
Mrs. Zelinsky, if he heads for the light, he has to come this way.
According to my calculations, he's got to hold still for 12.2 seconds.
What?
His increased mass requires a longer period of exposure.
How do you expect to get a two-year-old to hold still for 12 point anything seconds?
She's right, Doctor. We tried to have his picture taken a month ago. Total bust.
We're just pulling up now, Dan. There are a lot of police cars gathered. We'll find out what's going on.
A blonde-haired woman grabs a microphone and stands in front of a video camera.
This is Constance Winters reporting live from the site of what will certainly become the most important news story of the decade.
The humongous atom approaches. Wayne, Diane, and Sterling gape, their mouths wide open. As tall as a building, he climbs over a highway bridge and heads toward them.
Oh, Adam. Well, honey, he looks okay.
They share binoculars.
Do you think this is going to affect him for life? I mean, something like this could ruin a kid.
Honey, it might give him a different perspective. Help him see the big picture.
Baby. There they are!
Two officers dash out of sight. Nick and Mandy peek out from the front pocket of Adam's overalls. His 20-foot-long arms swing on either side of them. As policemen scurry out of his way, the toddler trudges closer, covering a mile in seconds. As small as crayons to Adam, the teenagers wave frantically to the crowd below.
Progress of the giant baby who has just been identified as Adam Zelinsky from Vista Del Mar.
As Adam leans forward, Nick and Mandy cling to the pocket.
Over here, Todd, let's go.
The governor's on the phone for you, sir.
Yes, Governor. He's a pretty big baby.
Adam spins a flashing road sign.
We can get rope guns. We can shoot ropes over him.
Absolutely not. You are not shooting anything at my baby.
Baby? Look at him. Hey, we're his parents, okay? We'll handle this. Diane?
Yeah, Wayne.
How do we handle this?
She shakes her head. As the teenagers hang on to his pocket, Adam drops the sign.
Ready?
Look out, look out, look out!
Mommy! Mom! Nikki, are you okay?
Adam, put your brother down.
Adam, baby. Mommy's
here. Nikki, I'm gonna get you out of here right away.
Okay, Dad, but hurry!
We can get a fire truck in here and run a ladder up to him.
That ladder wouldn't even reach beyond his knees.
He pulls up a huge billboard, then drops it.
Adam, now sit down really slowly.
I got it! Big Bunny! I need Big Bunny!
I need something called Big Dummy?
No, Bunny!
Bunny.
It's his favorite toy.
It's a kid's favorite toy.
Now, we scan the glittering skyline of Las Vegas. A helicopter drops into view, toting the 40-foot-tall Big Bunny. It swings over the blockade.
A helicopter is approaching with what looks like a giant stuffed animal of some sort hanging from it.
Ah!
Thanks.
Honey, this is dangerous!
Don't worry! Pilot's ready for you, Wayne. It's all primed. Be ready to activate as soon as he's down. I'll be fine.
Wayne grabs a megaphone and walks off. In the pocket, Nick turns to Mandy.
I'm positive my dad will have a plan to get us.
Tell me I'm not seeing this!
Wayne sits on Big Bunny's head.
I told you my dad would have a plan.
As a spotlight beams down on him, Adam reaches toward Big Bunny. Wayne gives a thumbs-up signal. The helicopter lowers the rabbit. Adam hugs it, nearly crushing Nick and Mandy. Sucking his thumb and clutching Big Bunny, Adam rocks from side to side as the helicopter hovers over him.
Oh, I'm tired. Are you tired, Big Bunny?
He's getting blinky.
Yeah, me too. I don't know what to do.
He's getting sleepy.
It's working. Your husband's a genius.
I got an idea. Why don't we all have a nice...
No!
Long...
Don't say it!
Nap.
Brace yourself!
Oh, no!
Whoa!
Adam whacks Big Bunny away.
Put me down!
All right, let's move it closer!
I'm gonna jump!
Ready, somebody!
Wayne leaps onto Adam.
Whoa!
Dad!
Release it now!
The helicopter drops Big Bunny.
Stop! Dad, this is Mandy.
Stay right there, kids! There's absolutely nothing to worry about!
Stop! I feel a whole lot better.
Wayne slides down Adam's chest into his pants leg.
That's my dad.
He seems really nice.
Wayne drops out of the leg, then runs off.
Run, Dad! Watch out for his slug!
Adam takes a step, kicking the TV van.
Nice try, buddy. He's headed for the strip.
Brooks and Wayne stare after him. Adam wanders toward the blockade. Below, policemen scramble out of his path. Constance Winters grips her microphone.
He's heading toward the city. We'll follow and bring you a live update.
Adam Zielinski, this is your mommy talking. You stop right now!
Hey, that won't do any good, Mrs. Zielinski. I'm sure he expects his mommy to be bigger than he is. To him, you're just... Well, you're nothing more than a little talking doll. Nothing can stop him now.
At a helicopter hangar.
I don't know what these guys are going to want, but we're going to have to cooperate. All right, go brief them.
Yes, sir.
Dr. Hendrickson. Captain Ed Meyerson, Nevada State Militia.
Captain, let's hope we can wrap this up quickly.
Just so you're aware, sir, my orders state we do nothing without final authorization.
Frankly, Captain, I'm not under the jurisdiction of the state militia. Your orders mean nothing to me.
A giant infant is heading toward the city. The baby is over 50 feet tall and appears to be growing even bigger at an alarming rate.
All right, let's move it, Captain. Now.
If it's okay with you, I'll just sit tight.
Now, Adam runs down a highway.
There's something down by my foot. Look at this.
A doll of an Indian man.
Let's see what else is down here.
A 2-foot oat square.
Cereal. Hey, cool. Want some?
No, thanks. I'm on a diet.
An M&M.
Have a raisin.
Now, a Las Vegas street.
For your own safety, please stay indoors. This is an emergency. All pedestrians are in grave danger. Please, clear the streets.
4 police cars drive in a row. Brightly lit, dazzling hotels and casinos line the sidewalks.
This is not a test. A human baby of abnormal proportions is approaching the city. The giant appears to be growing at a tremendous rate and has now reached 100 feet.
What's happening here? Is Wayne Newton in town?
No, they don't do this for Wayne Newton. It must be somebody bigger.
Listen, babe, there's nobody bigger than Wayne Newton in this town.
The couple looks up.
Of course, I could be wrong.
Peek-a-boo!
10 stories high, Adam peers over the side of a hotel, then walks around the corner. Bright lights flash across his chipmunk cheeks. His red overalled legs tower above tourists the size of mice. They dart toward the sidewalks. A TV camera crew records him as they retreat. Adam steps through the street with a foot as large as a bus. Nick and Mandy grip the top of his pocket.
Is he growing or are we shrinking?
It's amazing. He's doubled in size in just a few minutes.
Young Japanese tourists snap Adam's picture. Subtitles appear.
Godzilla!
Godzilla. No, Big Baby.
Adam, put us down. You put us down now.
Howdy, partner. Welcome to downtown Las Vegas.
Hi, Big Papa.
Adam dances in front of a waving electric cowboy with a 10-gallon hat. As he runs off, Nick and Mandy tumble to the bottom of his 15-foot-deep pocket.
Are you okay?
Yeah, I think so.
In Wayne's van, Brooks clutches his phone.
He's toddling down the center of Fremont Street.
He knows not to go in the street by himself.
There's no telling how huge he might get.
Yeah, especially if he touches any of those lights. We've got to get him away from them.
But how? There's nothing that's going to make him leave.
Unless he sees something that he wants more.
Tell your men to pull over. I think Wayne's got an idea.
Follow that ice cream truck.
They make a U-turn. A motorcycle policeman cuts in front of the white truck and stops it. A large illuminated popsicle sits on top.
We need a really big loudspeaker. Who can drive an ice cream truck real fast?
I can burn rubber.
We'll start burning it. We'll be with you on the walkie-talkie.
Preston Brooks, U.S. Marshals. We're commandeering this vehicle. Come on.
Wait a minute.
Now, at the hangar, workers lift a large gun.
What's that?
It's a tranquilizer cannon. It's used on large mammals. Cartridges can incapacitate a target in seconds. It's like a normal injection, but on a slightly larger scale, of course.
Frankly, sir, I have kids myself, and that just doesn't seem like
the
type...
naturally, Captain. This is just a last resort.
Now, on the Las Vegas Strip.
Reporting live from the Fenway's Clutter Gulch, where certainly the biggest story of the year is unfolding. Casino owners are understandably upset. They've been ordered to evacuate the area.
Many of our questions lie with two key players in this drama. Dr. Clifford Sterling.
What we do know is that a baby by the name of Adam Zielinski has somehow mushroomed over 100 feet tall.
Stop the clapping!
In the pocket, Nick and Mandy hold their ears.
I've got a plan.
Great, because I'm starting to get airsick.
We'll pull the thread out of the bottom of the pocket and use it as a rope to slide down.
The scene here is one of total confusion and chaos, but so far all the casinos are still standing.
Constance Winters stands on top of her TV van. One of Adam's sneaker laces is untied. As he takes a step, it flops onto the street. A van drives over it.
Watch out!
The lace pops free. Adam falls. People scurry out of the street. Glancing down, the gigantic toddler spies tourists and showgirls gawking up at him.
Hi.
A yellow Porsche convertible knocks over a policeman and pulls up between Adam's arms. The 20-ish couple inside stare at him. Adam beams.
You have to jump.
The couple hops out of the car.
Hold on.
The Indian doll falls into the convertible.
Don't look down. Watch out for the gear shift. Jump.
Nick and Mandy jump into the car.
Go!
I'm trying.
Hurry, hurry, do something!
I'm used to an automatic.
You've got to get out of here!
The windshield wipers swish. The top flips up.
Toy car.
Buckle up!
Adam reaches for the convertible. Nick and Mandy tilt as he lifts the car off the ground and aims it toward his mouth.
Get away
from
me!
Adam! Adam, don't eat us!
He bites down on the wheels. In the back of the car, the Indian doll slides across the seat. Below, Wayne and Diane rush past the barricade.
Standing just below Adam Zielinski, who has lifted a small yellow sports car to the air with three unidentified persons in it. From what I can make out, it looks like two young teenagers, a boy and a girl, and a man dressed in an Indian costume.
What's he doing?
He's taking something out of his pocket. A peppermint.
He tosses it. It smashes a car's windshield. Adam twirls, wiggling the convertible. Inside, Nick and Mandy grip the dashboard. The sports car spins as fast as a roller coaster, almost hitting the electric cowboy. He dips the car, then zips it past a casino sign. Frantically, Nick turns the wheel and presses the brake.
The car's like a toy to him. I hope this thing has airbags.
Our view zooms down, stops a few feet from the street, then jerks up.
Do something, Nate! Tell her to stop!
Yeah, he's too big!
We gotta get him away from those lights before he touches any of them.
Brooks, what's happening with that ice cream truck?
We're almost set.
Roger.
A trooper hooks a megaphone on top of the truck.
Watch the tree!
Adam hurdles the car through a palm tree. Fronds flap across the windshield. Then he rolls it over an electric sign. Sparks fly. Lights pop and explode.
Oh, no, I think I'm going to throw up.
Just a big baby with his toy.
Panting, Mandy grips the roof. The car knocks over a telephone booth.
Put it down.
Suddenly, he stops.
Ooh. What's he doing now?
Put us down!
He sets the car on a huge electric cowgirl's foot.
You put it down.
Pick us up! Pick us up!
The cowgirl sign's leg bends with the weight. Tilting his head, Adam giggles at the dangling convertible.
What about that truck?
Brooks, what's happening there?
Okay. We're set.
The ice cream truck.
No, wait!
Hold it.
We need him to get the kids down.
Cut it off!
Mandy slips out the convertible's door.
I can't stand it!
Oh, my God.
She holds on with one hand.
Whatever you do, don't look down!
Nick, don't let go! Please!
I'm gonna pull you back up, okay?
Nick! Mandy!
Hold on!
But you gotta help.
Okay.
Get the car, Adam!
He kicks the horn.
Adam, pick up the car! Adam, get the car!
Come on.
Sweetheart.
Come on, I got you.
He pulls her back in.
Cover them!
As the crowd watches, Mandy climbs in and shuts the door. The car tilts on the electric cowgirl's toe.
Lucky door.
In back, the Indian doll falls over. The car slides off the foot and tumbles toward the ground. Adam runs and catches it in his palm. The electric cowgirl's leg pops back up. Adam smiles down. Sighing, Diane drops her head against Wayne's.
Oh, thank you, Adam.
He stuffs the car into his pocket.
Put him in the pocket!
Honey, we can't wait any longer.
Let's do it.
Sterling nods.
Everyone stand by now. Attention, all casinos. Wait for my signal to turn off your lights. Marshal Brooks, bring on the truck.
The ice cream truck drives forward with the popsicle shining on top. Behind the wheel, the helmeted Brooks clenches his jaw in determination. In the pocket, Mandy and Nick climb out of the car. As the truck wheels around, Sterling clutches his walkie-talkie.
Ready, set, go, Union Plaza.
Behind him, a hotel goes dark.
Go, Golden Gate.
A casino's sign shuts off.
Las Vegas Club. Now, hit the searchlights.
Spotlights point at the truck.
Go, Brooks.
Come on, Adam.
Come on, baby.
Come on, baby. Go for it.
Adam points.
Hold the door.
He turns and walks toward the zooming truck. Nick and Mandy look down from the pocket.
This is supposed to be another one of my dad's plans.
Star Palace.
Great.
Four queens.
Adam runs after the truck as it speeds down the darkening street.
It's working, Wayne.
Go, Adam.
He really likes ice cream.
Adam licks his lips. In the pocket, the teenagers fall over.
Yes!
It's working.
In his mirror, Brooks sees Adam reaching for the truck.
Ice cream!
Where are you guys? This kid's gaining on me.
Sterling, Wayne, and Diane's smiles fade. Now, at the hangar, a trooper hands Hendrickson a note. The helmeted scientist rushes to a helicopter.
We have clearance, Captain. Move it!
Rasping the note, the captain shoots a look at his co-pilot. Hendrickson hops in beside the tranquilizer. With a snide look, he grips the gun's handle. As technicians rush from the landing base, the helicopter takes off into the night sky. Now on the Vegas Strip.
Brooks said he caught the ice cream truck just outside of town.
Next thing I know, he grabbed it right off the truck.
What'd he do with it?
What do you think he did with it?
The popsicle has a bite taken out of it.
You got another idea?
I will. Come on, let's go.
Dr. Sterling.
Wayne! Do you remember how we got Adam to hold still to have his picture taken? I put him in my lap and I held him.
Yeah?
Honey, he needs me. The problem is to Adam, his mommy is somebody much bigger than he is.
She glances at the laser.
No, Diane, it's a crazy
Wayne, idea. For almost 20 years, I've watched you have one crazy idea after another. It's my turn to have just one.
He lets out a sigh. The helicopter heads toward the city. Now, Adam walks past a flaming volcano-shaped fountain.
Fire!
Turning, he spots the giant electric guitar sign outside the Hard Rock Cafe.
My guitar!
Uh-oh.
What now?
Adam, don't touch that guitar!
The guitar looms closer and closer. Now, in the van.
I'm preheating the lasers now, 600 volts.
Sterling aims the laser.
Diane, I should be doing this, not you.
There's one thing every little kid knows. Daddies mean fun, mommies mean business.
But this was never meant to do anything like this. Too little power and you'll grow too slowly, like Adam, and too much power...
I trust you, Wayne Zabinski.
They spot the helicopter.
Wayne, time to get large.
Here's your soda, sir.
What do you need a Coke bottle for?
I don't. Just the bottom.
Oh.
He places it inside the laser. Diane takes a deep breath. Wayne gazes at her warmly, then presses a button. A beam shoots into her chest.
Tom, I'm here just outside the Hard Rock Cafe. The giant baby is approaching.
Hello? I can't hear you. Turn off the lights. A giant what? Baby?
Inside the Hard Rock Cafe. The whole restaurant shakes.
Guitar!
Customers rush from their tables. Outside, they spill out of the entrance and rush between Adam's towering legs. Running frantically, a waiter dives into a nearby fountain. Police cars skid to a stop. Troopers jump out of trucks. Nick and Mandy look down on the scene as a crowd forms across the street. Adam reaches for the 40-foot-high electric guitar.
Adam, don't touch the guitar!
The toddler rips it from its base. Sparks shoot upward.
No, Adam! Adam, put down the guitar!
Now, the helicopter turns sharply around a hotel. Inside, Hendrickson mans the tranquilizer gun.
Can't this thing go any faster? The kid might be growing again!
This is as fast as we can go safely, Doctor.
Hendrickson scowls and practices aiming the gun.
Constance Winters live across the street from the Hard Rock Cafe. He thinks the guitar is a real musical instrument. He's trying to play a tune.
Dancing, Adam strums the guitar. Hendrickson spots him from the helicopter. The toddler looms over the dark horizon, dancing and wagging his bottom. The chopper flies closer.
Bring me into range and hold it steady.
Now, wait a minute. Now, if we hit him and he stumbles, he can fall into the crowd.
Oh, we just have to hope that doesn't happen.
The captain exchanges a look with his co-pilot. Hendrickson's finger closes on the trigger as the chopper hovers above Adam. A searchlight beams down, flickering across Nick and Mandy in the pocket.
Adam! Put down the guitar and get the airplane!
Airplane! Hi!
Hold it. Steady.
As he fires, the helicopter jerks upward.
We're shooting at Adam!
Assume that little maneuver was an error, Captain.
Now steady! I'll make sure this is the last mission you ever fly.
Hey! Pick on somebody your own size!
Hendrickson fires again. A dart hits the guitar. Sparks fly out. Adam throws the instrument away. Q. Huge tears roll down Adam's cheeks as the crowd gazes up in wonder. Blinking, Constance Winters shakes her head.
All right, let's go again.
The crowd turns. A huge new hand appears.
Damn it!
Hold it!
Back off!
Yes, ma'am!
The 400-foot-tall Diane grips the chopper.
Yeah, yeah! Woo!
Can't you tell him? That's my mom!
Woo! I need a vacation.
Whoa, look at that mother.
The crowd makes room as the van drives up. Wayne hops out and dashes to the back. Technicians slide out the laser. Sterling rushes toward it. As her blonde hair flutters in the wind, the gargantuan Diane sets the helicopter down, then holds out her arms.
Come here, baby.
Mama!
Come to mommy.
Clinging to the pocket, Mandy and Nick brace themselves as Adam hops towards his mother.
Come here, baby. Come to mommy.
Mom!
Easy, Mom! Everything's gonna be okay, sweetie.
She embraces him.
Mommy's here.
Everything is good, Doctor.
Roger.
Sterling turns knobs on a panel. Diane releases Adam.
You crying?
Yeah. It's okay to cry when you're so happy.
She hugs him again.
The bearings of the generator are about to burn out. We better do it.
A panel reads overload. Near the broken chopper, Hendrickson looks up.
Okay, now look at Daddy. Smile for Daddy. There he is.
Daddy.
Wayne, 1450. It's all she can take.
Wayne flicks switches on the laser.
Say cheese, Adam.
A panel shudders and shakes.
Come on, Wayne.
He presses a button. A beam zaps Diane and Adam. They shrink in a flash to normal size. Blue lights shimmer around their heads and hands.
Look, Adam. There's Daddy.
Daddy!
Honey, you did it!
Adam!
He scoops him up.
Gave us quite a scare, little man.
I knew you could do it, honey.
There he is. Let me through.
Well, Zelinsky, you pulled it off. Who would have thought?
Dr. Hendrickson, that looked like some sort of rifle that you were shooting at my baby.
They were tranquilizer cartridges. They wouldn't have hurt him, I assure you.
Oh. Tranquilizer cartridges.
She slugs him.
Never cross mommy.
We got an emergency here. Dr. Hendrickson needs help.
He's overcome with the prospect of having to find a new career.
Hey, big fella. Is this what you were looking for?
Brooks hands Adam a popsicle.
Wayne, Nick and Mandy.
Weren't they in Adam's pocket?
They reach into the pocket. It has a hole in the bottom.
Don't tell me.
Oh, my God. Honey, I shrunk the kids.
Nobody move! Now, don't worry. I have highly specialized equipment to deal with this.
I'll need the helmet and I'll need the dog.
Now in the convertible.
Good morning, Las Vegas. All vehicles are asked to stay clear of the Hard Rock Cafe, where inventor Wayne Zelinsky is conducting a one-man search to find some missing children. It was Zelinsky's matter-expanding machine that was responsible for last night's amazing events. Dr. Clifford Sterling has just announced...
I guess your father's about the most famous guy in the world today. And I guess you're about the bravest.
Mandy kisses Nick's cheek.
That's for saving my life.
Wasn't much.
I don't mean your life wasn't much. What I did wasn't so much.
He spots Quark and Wayne's magnified eyes in the side mirror. Nick waves them away.
How long do you think it'll take before they find us?
I think it may be a while before they find us.
He stretches his arms and tries to wrap one around her shoulder.
You're kind of different, Nick. Like your dad.
We're not all that different.
Yeah, you are. But when you think about it, I guess the world needs people who are different. People who see things, well, differently, I guess you could say. We
She lays her head on his shoulder. Nick drops his arm around her. In the mirror, his father's huge eye winks. Wayne removes his magnifying helmet and joins Diane and Adam.
Are they okay?
Yep. I think we better give them a couple of minutes, though.
What are we gonna do about that?
Adam, look!
The toddler jogs toward the 40-foot-tall Big Bunny lying on its side.
Big Bunny!
As Wayne and Diane walk up, Adam pulls its ear.
What are we gonna do with this?
Don't worry, I'll think of something. Don't I always? Don't you trust me?
I don't know.
Oh, come on, when am I gonna...
Quark wags his tail. Adam hops up and down on Big Bunny's ear as Wayne takes Diane into his arms. Fade to black. This film has been described for blind and visually impaired audiences by Descriptive Video Service, WGBH Boston. Described by Lisa S. Benjamin. Descriptions read by Madge Kaplan. Funding provided by the United States Department of Education. For a complete listing of DVS programs and services, call toll-free 1-800-333-1203. Credits roll. Costume designer Tom Bronson. Visual effects producer Thomas G. Smith. Film editors Michael A. Stevenson, ACE, and Harry Hittner. Production design by Leslie Dilley. Director of photography John Hora, ASC. Co-producer Dennis E. Jones. Based on characters created by Stuart Gordon and Brian Usna and Ed Naha. Story by Gary Goudreau. Co-starring Linda Carlson, Leslie Neal, Gregory Sierra, and Julia Sweeney. Cast: Rick Moranis as Wayne, Marcia Strassman as Diane, Robert Oliveri as Nick, Daniel and Joshua Shalikar as Adam, Lloyd Bridges as Clifford Sterling, John Shea as Hendrickson, Carrie Russell as Mandy, Ron Canada as Marshall Brooks, Amy O'Neill as Amy Zielinski, Michael Milhone as Captain Ed Meyerson, Gregory Sierra as Terrence Wheeler, Leslie Neal as Constance Winters, Julia Sweeney and Linda Carlson as the Nosy Neighbors, Lisa Mende and John Paragon as the lab technicians, Ken Toby as Smitty, Bill Moseley as the federal marshal, Ed Feldman and Suzanne Kent as Las Vegas couple, Alex Daniels as Uncle Janusz, Robert Jaffe and Ron Lawrence as the motorcycle officers, John Hora as the helicopter observer, Mary Ellen Moore as policewoman, Randy Swallow, Pamela Cedarquist, and James M. Lawton as Vegas reporters, Shannon M. Steger as Nevada militia, Minori Goto and Mamura Kanai as the Japanese tourist, Gregory McCurdy as police officer, David Skates as rock fan in crowd, Marion Palmer as the Hard Rock reporter, Kathy Pastor as the Hard Rock hostess, Bill Laska as the Highway Patrol officer, Sammy as Quark, stunt coordinator Bobby J. Foxworth, stunts by John C. Meyer, Hank Hooker, Benny Moore, Dennis DeVoe, Tom Barr, Lynn Salvatore, Danny Winans, Tracy Keene Dashnaw, Jeannie Epper, Jeff Jensen, Cindy Fulkerson, Dick Butler, Andrew Gordon Baird, Roberta Hanlon, Gary Morgan, and Cheryl Wheeler Dixon. Unit Production Manager Whitney Green. First Assistant Directors Frank Capra III and Douglas C. Metzger. Second Assistant Director Jeffrey Wetzel. Art Director Ed Vareau. Assistant Art Director Eddie McAvoy. Set Decorator Dory Cooper. Baby Adam Special Makeup Effects by Kevin Yeager. Special recognition to Kit Reed for The Attack of the Giant Baby. Additional film editing, Tina Hirsch, ACE. Men's costume supervisor, Philip Kozo. Women's costume supervisor, Dawn Jackson. Set costumers, Karen M. Davis and Joseph T. Mastrolia. Makeup, Mary Burton. Hairstylist, Laura Lee Grubich. Script supervisor, Marilyn Giardino Zick. Lead set designer, Antoinette J. Gordon. Set designers, John Berger and Gina B. Cranham. Visual effects illustrator, Thomas Valentine. Storyboard illustrators Len Morganti, Steve Berg, and Darren R. Doctorman. Copyright 1992, The Walt Disney Company. All rights reserved. Distributed by Buena Vista Pictures Distribution, Incorporated. Now the castle logo appears. Walt Disney Pictures. Fade to black.